Blog Talk Radio.
As a non-commercial radio station, Ken's FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
If I'm mistaken, right now, I do believe Scott Hand is on the line. Are you there, sir?
I'm here. Yep.
And if I'm also not mistaken, he has made his triumphant return, and I do believe Matthias is there as well. How are you?
Yep, I am here for another show on 89.1 Ken's FM.
It's good to have you back. You know, we had a lot of fun last week, and of course, it wasn't really the same without you because me and Scott actually had to carry the show on our back, and it got to be a lot of weight as we are doing that. So we're glad that you're here to kind of even out the weights, I guess you could say.
Absolutely.
All right. Scott, you know the Modern Nightmare Matthias?
Of course. Absolutely.
All right. And Matthias, you know Scott Hand. He's smart enough to actually have us involved in this project called The Black Tent. And I know you're looking forward to being in that in some aspect.
Absolutely.
And last week we found out something very interesting about that filming, Matthias. You want to know what that is?
Yeah. Let's go.
Alexis Baca is going to be in that movie with us.
Okay.
The next Wonder Woman.
Interesting.
And and apparently, Scott has also wanted you to be the bodyguard of all the actors and actresses so you can keep me away from them. So when Scott says, okay, get Icon out of here, that'll be your cue.
All right. I'll take that pay. I'll take that job.
And I'll be doing some tap dancing.
Right. And we decided that, yes, I should do some tap dancing as long as I don't fall in the sink. And, of course, that joke may get old over the next several weeks, but who knows, I guess. I don't know. But it is what it is. We're going to have a lot of fun. And apparently the big swing is listening as well. So let's catch everybody up on what we've all been doing. So, Matthias, since we have not heard from you in a couple weeks, what's up with you? What's going on with your wrestling career?
Well, I took the week off last week because of the holiday upcoming and a lot of hard work that needed to get done in preparation for it. I've had some personal issues come up the past few weeks. Professionally wise with wrestling, looks like I'm trying not to be a downer, but I'm not. But I'm also kind of being serious with things. My knee, my shoulder. I recently injured it in a match, taking a Hurricane Rana, and it's being a slow recuperation. I don't know if I did something to it. I don't know if I severely bruised it or what's going on, but it's just taking a little bit more time to recover, so I got to keep an eye on that. Other than that, I'm off on wrestling for a few more for another week or so, and then I'll be December 10th I'll be in Horace, and then the 16th I'll be back in Minneapolis and Chicago, and then after that it's up until January where I make my I don't even know how many title defenses I've had so far with my APW World Heavyweight title.
And think about this, after you appear in the Black Tent, think of the calls that you'll be getting from AEW.
Well, you know, I mean, AEW would definitely be a thrill ride. I mean, there's been, some ups and downs with pro wrestling nowadays with the major companies. So I guess we'll have to see if AEW ever contacts me, they ever give me a shot, you know. I mean, who wouldn't? But if they are, then let's go. Let's get some stuff done.
And, you know, you might even get a call from the WWE. If they can bring in CM Punk, you've got much more talent than him.
Well, CM Punk made his return on Saturday night after War Games proceeded.
Hated it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. Completely outshined Randy Orton's return. I mean, we already knew who it was going to be after Cody's promo on Raw the previous Monday. We already knew it was going to be Randy Orton making his return, but everybody popped for him returning, and at the end, CM Punk somehow decided to come out, and I guess his return is like the most viewed video on X and most popular social video in WWE history, apparently, with like 74 million views and stuff like that, and it's like over CM Punk. I mean, I'm tired of it. Everyone is so excited about it, whereas I'm just kind of, you know, midterm about the whole thing.
Well, you know, when it comes to CM Punk, I guess I could care less because he is a Bears fan. Speaking of that, Minnesota is down 6-3. Will be for the Viking fans listening right now, because you couldn't decide whether to watch the Vikings or listen to us. We decide, you know, that you decided to listen to us, so we'll keep you posted on the score for Monday Night Football. Anywho, now let's go to Scott here. Now, you know, we've talked a lot about the Black Tent because that is basically your staple, your baby, as we talked about before. But there's one other movie that we want to talk a little bit about, and I have issues pronouncing it. You know which one I'm referring to?
Must Be Like Cain, the werewolf movie.
Exactly. Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a werewolf movie. It's my feature film debut. I had done a short movie about the Jersey Devil called Lost in the Night, which is actually in film festivals now. We'll be going into more in 24. Like Cain is my feature film debut. We're, you know, getting there very slowly. The sound mixing's taken a while. It's closer than ever. The movie looks really good. It's a werewolf movie. We do some things a little bit differently. I mean, it's not an American Werewolf in London or The Howling. I kind of was, you know, going back in time a little bit to emphasize story over special effects, you know. And then, of course, you know, I have a little comedy as well, you know, five losers on the line.
And it's not Teen Wolf either.
No, it's not Teen Wolf. Now we're a little more adult-oriented than that. Mm-hmm.
One thing I do want to ask you that I kind of found interesting as I was researching this, that someone actually wanted you to call it something different. They wanted you to call it, like, Beware of the Moon or something. Can you tell us about that,
yeah,
or are you not allowed to talk about that?
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, when I was talking to some investors, one of the guys that – well, actually, two of the guys that were really interested in it, this was before I wrote the script, I went to them with the concept, and they, for whatever the reason, they had this title, Beware the Moon, and I wasn't really big on it. It really doesn't fit into the movie. I mean, I kind of shoehorned some things in there a little bit for it, but it doesn't really fit. It's a different kind of werewolf movie. We do have a werewolf in there. There's some pretty grisly kills in there, but I think overall in the end, by the time I had written scripts and by the time we were, you know, getting things going, they were just kind of like, yes, yeah, Scott, we get it. You know, you keep it your title. Stay with Like Cain.
So it wasn't one of those deals like, okay, you want us to invest in the movie, you will call what we want or no, or we won't be involved. It wasn't
pretty,
like
I mean,
that.
It kind of started, I think, that way, which is why I was getting a little flexible with them. I was like, all right, you know, I said, it's not really my story, but, you know, if you're really hooked on that title, I could figure out a way to make it work. And I did, but the thing was, once we started filming, all of a sudden they were just like, yeah, you know what? They read this. I don't know that they really read my script prior to that, you know, once they saw some of the dailies on, then they read the script and they were like, now we get it. You know, we Googled Like Cain, we see what you're doing. You stick with your title.
Which is awesome. And I love how you stick to your guns. And at this point with the filming of The Black Tent and Matthias, you and I and Ken upstairs will be making a little trip, a little road trip sometime in March or April to film our spots in that film. It's going to be awesome, would you say?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be actually going to Vegas in the end of February. So, I mean, if I get to go and take a little road trip again in March, that'll be a good combo, I would say.
And, Scott, I think we may have mentioned this or may have. Do you have any locations picked out where you want to film it at, or is that still up in the air yet?
Well, we have it. We just had Thanksgiving now. We're not going to have anything locked down probably for the next few weeks. It's probably in January. Once we get through these holidays, we'll have things locked up. But right now, no, nothing. I have spots picked out, but we don't have them locked up.
And, you know, like I say, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, is that all you're going to talk about, blah, 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 blah. You know, you got an ego, blah, 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 blah. No, it has nothing to do with that. What I'm trying to let people know, and I'm trying to let everybody else that's listening know, that I'm proud that I've been picked and part of this project. I mean, this is Scott Hand's baby, and it's been in development for 6 years. And it's finally going to come to fruition, and I'm glad to be part of it.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you.
And,
glad to have both of you guys on board.
Right. And, you know, the one thing about Matthias, Scott, is if you need someone that can do his own stunts, guess what? Matthias can, especially if it involves a folding table full of thumbtacks. He can handle that.
Great. That's awesome.
Am I right, Matthias?
Yeah, you know, I did tend to dabble in the hardcore style or the hardcore matches of wrestling. As a matter of fact, December 10th, I have a hardcore match, a Christmas chaos match, if you will, where it's four presents will be hung from poles around the corners, and you open up a present, you get a weapon, you get to use it, and I believe that'll be the only weapon you get to use throughout the match, but... Yeah, I've landed on tables, thumbtacks, barbed wire, broken glass, Legos. I've been sliced open by cheese graters, broken plates, broken glass. I basically shed blood, sweat, and tears in that ring multiple times over. And, yeah, I'm more than willing to do my own stunts if it gets to be paid just a little bit more.
And not necessarily in that order either.
Absolutely.
And you've also had people steal your spinner. In one of those events.
Yeah, that wasn't cool by one of the fans who ended up taking my prized spinner dollar sign piece to one of my low-hanging chains. That was actually the first time I've actually ever worn any sort of necklace or gear out to the ring other than my typical stuff, and it's been the last time. I rarely wear my necklace now because... as I've had fans attack me before and tried to steal my stuff, I've had fans try to fight me, so I just can't trust the, excuse my French, sleazy fans that try to just, you know, take your stuff and run away with it, so, you know, I just can't trust them.
And, you know, the cool thing is, the show here, Attitude Era, Monday Live Monday, was able to help you get a suitable replacement, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you still covet that.
Oh, absolutely. It's still hanging up with my other gear, and if I ever, you know, if it comes down to that I need to choke somebody with it or I need to knock somebody out with a little hard metal, well, then there's a suitable use for it.
And make sure that my fingerprints are still on that thing, so if there's a lawsuit that's filed, make sure you take my fingerprints off of that.
Well, I mean, as long as you're not seen using it in the so-called crime, then we will be, I guess we'll all be fine.
All right. Yeah, I don't want to be an accomplice. anyway, I think our first guest is waiting in the wings here. So here's what we're going to do. We need to take a quick little commercial break. We'll be back after these messages from one of our sponsors. And after this, stick with us because our first guest will be with us. Stay tuned. The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full-size fridge, and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat-screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. Which Big Streets of Fargo rated 4.2 by TrustScore. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle. She is an awesome actress, and she's going to tell us all about it. And I hope I pronounce her name correctly, because everybody knows I do have problems with that. She is Melissa Joy Quinones.
Hey, this is Melissa Quinones. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday, live Monday on 89.1 Kens FM, with your host, the Icon, and also the Modern Nightmare Matthias, and the Big Swing.
Well, how are you, Melissa? Good to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here.
All right, so I'm going to introduce you. You already know who the Icon is. Of course, everybody does. I'm going to introduce you to the Modern Nightmare, Matthias. He is on my left. Say hello.
Hello.
And we have Scott Hand, who's on my right. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
So you have so basically you're surrounded by a couple burly men. Well, actually, two big men and a wimp. That would be me. Anyway, so here's how we're gonna do this, Melissa. I'm gonna have you give us a little background about yourself. Then I'll ask a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable. Then we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the tougher questions. So go ahead.
Okay, sure. Hi. So, like I said, my name's Melissa. All my friends know me as Missy. I've always wanted to be an actress. I've always wanted to act, but you know, life gets you sometimes. So, I had a family. I have three wonderful children, Daniel, Devin, and Olivia. And, I finally got to a point in life where they don't need me that much anymore. So I'm pursuing my dream of becoming an actress and being involved in a lot of projects.
And
so
you're
And
correct me if I'm wrong, you're also a writer, an actress, and a model as well, but you don't do much modeling anymore, but you used to.
Right. I do more of acting and writing. I wrote a sitcom with one of my classmates, Misha Ferrone, and another classmate, Kaz Ferranti. And we wrote a sitcom that is we filmed and is in post-production right now, being edited, and you know hopefully somebody will pick it up.
So
and other
us,
than that, I do more acting than anything.
The name
we got copyrighted. The name is Drugs and Candy.
Drugs and Candy.
That is the name.
Hmm.
Yes.
Wow, that's awesome. I'd like to have a part in. especially if there's free candy involved. So let's talk a little bit about this, and then I'll pass on to my co-host here. So how long has this series been in development?
About, I think we started writing last year, like end of last year, I believe, and we filmed the first episode around March, and so now we were looking for somebody to do the editing, and my partner Misha, he got somebody in California who's working on that right now, so.
And if this does get picked up, what are your plans? You plan on like making it like a weekly series? Maybe start out with like a mid-season replacement, and then go to the end of the season and start fresh the next season. Is that the plan, or what is your main goal?
I think ultimately we want it to be a series. We have a lot of ideas for future episodes. We have some of them are written down already. Some are still, you know, hanging around in our heads, but yeah, we have a lot of ideas for it to become a nice. I want it to be a series, hopefully, or something that could be like weekly.
And I do believe that you might even be able to write the Icon into one of those episodes.
Absolutely, absolutely, we could definitely write you in.
Well,
take a trip over to Fargo and,
Speaking of writing me, and I'm going to introduce you to my first co-host. His name is Scott Hand, and he's an independent film director. And, you know, my goal would be to eventually have you guys work together on a project. And then, you know, then when you guys are riding off in the sunset making millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then you, like, pass me on the side of the street with a holding a bucket saying, drop something in my bucket here. You know, you guys will remember the good times. But anyway, Scott, go ahead. What do you have for our guest, Melissa Quinones?
Hi, Melissa. So tell me a little bit about that. Tell me a little bit more, like, about the series. Like, how was your, like, what was your development phase on this? You know, like, did you go pitching to different places or different production companies, or how did you go about this?
We haven't pitched it yet. We're still just waiting for the editing, and then we're going to be pitching it at that point. So once it's fully edited, we're going to pitch it. And that's the we're hoping that we can find someone that would like to take it on and fund it, and possibly back us up on a series. But it's definitely a funny show. It's very silly, comedic, and I think people would like it.
I just directed my first comedy, so you know kind of interesting. Yeah, my latest one is a short called Five Losers on a Line, and that's a comedy. Before that, my other two pictures were horror films, and my next one after this that Icon talks about, the Black Ten, is going back to the horror field for me.
Horror films. I understand. Are you part of the Friday the 13th Bloodbath? Was it?
No, I think that's Anthony Kumano's picture. I think that's Anthony.
Yeah, that's the other project I've been involved in. The Friday the 13th Blood Loss.
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah.
But
Scott
Hand's got the Black Tent that I'm involved in, and the other guy you're going to be meeting here in a second.
Oh, awesome. Is that right now being filmed at this point, or is that something that you're still working on, casting and everything?
Which one? The Black Tent?
Oh, the Black Tent, yeah.
Yeah, the Black Tent, we're in pre-production on that one. We're going to be working really hard after the new year on it, locking down locations. We've got most of the cast together. There's still some, you know, the main roles are mostly all taken, but we still have some, you know, and some of the supporting roles that we'll still be looking to fill after, you know, after the new year when we get closer to filming. I'm going more for like a Tim Burton look this time, more German expressionism, you know. Because I was just watching, it's funny, I was watching The Son of Frankenstein the other day on television, the old movie, and I didn't realize there was so much German expressionism in that film. So I was like looking at that, and that kind of really gave me some inspiration as well.
And, you know, the sad thing is we found out last week that the love scene between me and Alexis Baca was ripped out of the script by Alexis herself. She said she would consider it when I told her it was going to be with my stunt double who's like me, but he's a little taller and his face is different. Anyway, we have Melissa Quinones as our guest here on 89.1 Kens FM, and we got about 20 minutes here left. Now I want to introduce you to the man of the hour. He's our resident wrestler, and he's a tough guy, and he would also like to apply to maybe be part of your protection crew, maybe a bodyguard in the future. So, Matthias, what do you got? Go ahead.
Well, yes, you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current, reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion and NSE World Tag Team Champion and soon-to-be NSE World Heavyweight Champion, APW United States Champion, EWI Epic Champion, and BZW World Champion.
Paid for by the New World Order.
an honorary member of the New World Order. Matthias, welcome onto my part of the program.
And he has no ego, really.
It's self-confidence. There ain't no ego about it.
Yeah, he's so shy and reserved. You really need to come out of your shell, Matthias.
Absolutely not. But my main question to you would be, because this is the one thing I'll ask you two questions, and the first one for you would be, if you could go back in time and somebody came up to you and said, after what you've known, what you've been doing for your life as of right now, and you go back in time and they say you can only do one of these things, whether it's working with films, whether it's modeling, whether it's all this kind of stuff, which part of your life would you choose to keep doing forever, and you can only pick one, and why?
It would definitely be acting. And it would definitely be because I'm the most comfortable when I'm in front of the camera. I feel better. I feel good about that. I feel confident. I feel at home when I'm acting. So that would be definitely what I would choose.
And then my second question to you would be, and a lot of people will, when they get asked this question, you'll get a varied amount of answers depending on who you ask and in regards to what they've been doing throughout their entire career and stuff like that. So the question is, who would you say would be one of your heroes / main influencers that kind of aided you along the path to doing what you do today?
Oh, wow. I was not expecting. Okay, so so I'm a big comedy fan. So it's funny because the people that inspire me are comedians of also Jim Carrey, love him. Sandra Bullock, love her. Like just anybody who has expression and comedy. All of the Wayans brothers, like just those types of people. That's who I idolize. Bugs Bunny, that's my man. Like,
fair enough.
You know, that's the kind of.
So you like those guys with the buck teeth? Huh? How about those guys with the missing teeth? So you're telling me there's a chance? No, okay. Anyways. we have Melissa Jones, our guest here, and we got about 17 here in Minnesota with Melissa. Now, one thing, of course, we get a lot of our information here from imdb.com, and if any information is incorrect, you'll have to fire them, not our producer. But the one project that's listed for you in imdb.com, would you be willing to tell us about that? I do believe that you play the main character in that movie.
I played the mother of the main character in that movie. That's a funny story, actually. I didn't even know I had an IMDb until about 2 years ago, and this film was filmed in 2011. It was a student film, and the girl was phenomenal. Her name is Katrina Kudlik, and she did everything. She did the filming, the sound. Everything. She did it all. And she did this film, and it was called Reticent. I played the mother, and then I started going to acting class about 2 years ago, and my acting coach had all of my information. Like, he made a comp card for me, and I'm like, how did you know my information? He's like, I Googled you. And I'm like, oh. So I Googled me, and I see an IMDb, and it said Melissa Quinones, and I'm like, nah, and then it said Reticent. I was like, what? And that's how I found out I even had a credit for a movie as an actor but 2 years ago for a movie that was done 12 years ago.
You know, so, I'm kind of interested about that. When you Googled yourself, were you shocked to find out what you saw about yourself that you maybe even didn't know?
That was probably the most shocking piece of information I got about myself, was that that I had an IMDb credit. Other than that, I kind of expected anything else on there. But I didn't realize there were a billion Melissa Quinoneses. That was one shocker. I thought it was very unique to me, but no.
So when you Googled yourself, did it say lives in a mansion on a beach and drives a Ferrari for cappuccino every day?
There's some of them that do. I'm like, I wish that was me. But no, yeah, it was interesting. There's a lawyer. There's a famous singer. I'm like, wow. So yeah, a lot of interesting Melissa Quinoneses out there, but just there's only one me though. So
right, and you are awesome. We definitely know that.
Awesome. That's true.
So let me ask you, listen, Melissa. Let's kind of go back a little bit to this TV series that you're talking about. Now, is this like a series that you'd like to be picked up, like one of the major networks, like CBS, NBC, ABC, or Fox, or would you like to have like a Netflix sort of thing, or like another streaming service?
Yeah, I think the streaming service that I would I think would be more suitable for it, and I think it's just, I think people are more stream more now than they do watch TV, so I think, yeah, I would rather a streaming service. Netflix would be great, you know, that would probably be ideal, but yeah, definitely something like that.
Well, you know, this is an interesting form of discussion. I'll bring Scott and Matthias in on this. Matthias, do you have cable or do you stream?
Well, I did get a service of cable back when I first started living in Fargo. I got Dish Network. Basically, what it did was it was a cable Wi-Fi deal, but I hardly ever used the cable. But I'm more of a YouTube guy. But if I were to choose anything, I'm more of a streamer, I would say.
And Scott, how about you? You must have like a big satellite dish out in your front yard to stream all your stuff.
Streaming, yeah. I mean, like Matthias, I'm a YouTube guy, but yeah, definitely streaming for me. Mm-hmm.
You know, I had Dish, not Dish Network. I had the DirecTV for the longest time, and the reason why I had DirecTV is because they had NFL Sunday Ticket, and guess what? They don't have NFL Sunday Ticket anymore. They sold it. To Apple TV. So I'm like, why would I want to have Dish Network or DirecTV anymore? So, and I will admit, in the area, the city I'm in right now, Twin Valley, is very limited. You can get DirecTV, you can get Dish Network, or you can get their local cable company. And what's interesting is, I don't know if you guys were aware of this or not, but most cable companies don't have cable boxes anymore. They actually have, they're like little, like, fire sticks that you have to put into the back of your TV through the HDMI port and stream their services that way, because they don't run cable anymore. Were you guys aware of this? Did you guys know about this?
Or is it still the cable service? Or is
yes.
it just, okay, well, I mean, that it's improving with technology, so you don't have to deal with a huge box. I mean, I know mine is giving me issues, but I haven't really solved the matter because I'm paying a certain amount for good Wi-Fi. So I haven't really had any complaints. But yeah, it's kind of smart when you're moving along with the technology, especially with the new TVs they got coming out, because all TVs basically are USB ports or HDMI ports. So it's just they're just moving along with the technology.
Well, and you also, most TVs are also smart TVs. So.
Exactly, they're smart TVs, so they get a lot of the apps.
Right, and I...
Yeah, that's what I do.
I know everybody thinks I'm a geek anyway, but it doesn't matter to me. But anyway, I have every single app that you could think of. I have a Roku, whatever you want to call it. And every single app that they have available, I have downloaded on that. So if I want to watch 50s Westerns on a Saturday night, I can do that. If I want to watch old sci-fi flicks, I can do that. If I want to watch those great C-minus, D-plus horror films that you used to watch on Saturday nights, or even those campy teen comedies from the 80s where you used to have to stay up, sneak up and watch it on the TV, like USA Up All Night when your parents went to bed, you know, you would sneak up. Well, that was maybe me, not you guys. But anyway, what are they going to do, ground me? I'm like 45 years old, so it doesn't matter now. But anyway, back in the, I'll admit, I used to sneak up after my parents would go to bed. I would flip on USA Network, and it would either be Rhonda Shear, or it would be Gilbert Gottfried, or Carolyn Schlitt. And it was called USA Up All Night. It was on Friday nights and Saturday nights. But before that, I used to actually watch Mad Frank on KVRY before I got a little older. And, you know, as you get a little older, you want to see more stuff than campy horror films. So I started watching USA Up All Night, you know, sneak up, whatever. Now, I don't know if you guys ever did that because you guys are all saints. I understand this. And I'm the evil guy here, but it's just kind of, it's just like one of those things. Yet, and back to my point, streaming services, I think, are here to stay. I don't think they're going away. And the reason why I ask, now Scott, with you as an independent film director, would you find it easier to, like, sell your projects to, like Roku, or would you rather have it featured on, like, HBO or Cinemax or Showtime or the movie channel?
I mean, when I shoot my movies, I'm always kind of thinking, you know, cinematically, so I'm always kind of thinking, you know, old school theatrical, you know. I mean, I grew up in the time when, you know, VHS rentals and then even DVD sales, which that's pretty much a thing of the past now. You know, everything's on the cloud. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it would be great, you know, to see like Netflix or somebody like that pick up, you know, my stuff. You know, that would be the ultimate goal. But I mean, for my horror stuff and all, my dream was Scream Factory. That's like the number one place that, you know, I just think that they have the best distribution, you know, going right now for horror.
With that service, it is a streaming service, or you sell them the film and then they put it out on DVDs and Blu-rays?
Yeah, they do Blu-ray and 4K and all that, yeah, but I know they did have a streaming app or something like that. I know they did a couple of years ago because I was watching some stuff on there, but lately I've been a little bit busy, so I haven't been had a lot of time to look at that stuff. But that's from my research, that's pretty much my, you know, my dream is to see my stuff go with Scream Factory.
And Melissa, with that, with your series that you have, you said you filmed four episodes. Now, do you plan on how many episodes total would you want to have for, like, the first season? Or if you, like, start out as a mid-season replacement, how many would you want to have? And then how many would you want to have for season two, season three, so on and so forth?
I think ideally we would get 12 to start off with, just to be able to pitch it and have, you know that if they like the pilot that we're already ready to have the series start and go. So I think that would be ideal currently.
You know, and with that being said, you know, it would be cool if, and I'll ask your opinion on this, it would be cool though, you know, because a lot of actors nowadays, what is the main thing that drives a lot, and I'm not saying all actors and actresses, but what is the main thing that drives actors and actresses nowadays? It's money. You know, some want to get paid, you know, like up front. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll come be part of your project, but it's going to cost you $5,000 for me to be on set for 10 minutes. And that may be a bad example, but, like, if you take someone like me, and I can't speak for Matthias, but if you take someone like me that's willing to come work for you, and then when the project is successful, you know, you send me residuals afterwards, would you be more apt to someone that you have to pay up front or someone that you can pay on the back end?
That's a good question. I assume that that from what I've been doing, like, because I've done a lot of extra work and a lot of, you know, work for independent films and stuff like that. So usually, you know, they're paying you right then and there, or they'll pay you, you know, after the fact, but usually it'll pay you right then and there. So I'm assuming that everybody would want it that way. I don't know. Personally, if it's, you know, not a lot of money, it doesn't matter to me, but, you know, if it, when you're coming into, like, the thousands and stuff like that, then, you know, I guess it's depending on the person. I would definitely like to get my money up front. Or get residuals if I'm, you know, definitely know that this is going to go somewhere.
Melissa Quinones, our guest here on 89.1 Kens FM, and we got about 5 minutes here before our next guest pops in. So we can do this here so we don't forget. Melissa, if our fans want to check out, see, you got a Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, what do you got?
So I have pretty much all of that, and I have my website, melissaquinones.com, has all of that on there, and has my it has some of my videos, it has all of my all of my accounts as far as Instagram and Facebook, and everything's attached to that. So Melissa Quinones with an S.com. Although, and when you go on to the website, I have to get this corrected because the person that made this website put my last name, they put a Z on the end of my last name. But it's, the website's correct, Melissa Quinones with an S.com. And that'll bring up everything else I have.
You know, the other thing I was going to ask you, on your last name, you have that little cool little thing above the N, and this doesn't matter, but what is that? I'm kind of curious. I tried to find that all over. What is that?
That's the Spanish letter for Ñ, which makes the N have that Ñ sound. So it's Quinones.
Oh, okay. All right. Because usually when I hear that N sound, it's because I try to ask somebody out for a girl for a date. She's a yeah, you know. Anyway. And, you know, I think we talked a little bit about this, Melissa, when I was, and I know our fans are tired of hearing about this too, but, you know, when I was a senior in high school, you know, I did try to get a date for prom, believe it or not. And I asked 12 girls out. And 13 turned me down because this one gal came up and said, "Don't even think about asking me." Oh, okay, no problem. You're fine. Don't worry about it. So I crossed the captain of the cheerleaders right off of my dance card that night. Shocking, but it's true. Anyway, so we have Melissa as our guest here. And I do want to thank you for taking time on your schedule to be with us tonight. And, you know,
thank you for having me.
Right, and like I said, we got about 3 minutes here left with you, but you know, I'll tell you what, you do have my number, and I understand you'd be like most gals that have my number, and they never call it again. They just like fall it away in like their bad memory file. But when you start doing more of this TV development, if you need an extra that can bring the spark to the set. You know, some entertainment value, some comic relief, whatever it is, someone that can make sure there's no leftovers with catering, you have my number. I'm willing to come work for you.
I would love that. I would definitely love that. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
And we could definitely, we'll create a show just for you, just for the icon.
And I'll bring Matthias with me, too, and he does his own stunts.
That's awesome. We could totally write him in, too. You have no idea how chaotic this show can be. It's going to be amazing.
So, like, if you need someone that needs to be thrown through a table, Matthias can do that. If you need someone that needs to get beat up by a cheese grater, Matthias can do that. And probably his claim to fame, if you need someone that needs to get poked with thumbtacks, he's your guy.
That sounds exciting.
Well, I'll I'll tell you what, Melissa, you have been so awesome. I'm glad that that you've been on with us tonight, and I value your friendship, and you are so awesome, and thank you for being with us, and we'll definitely have you on again to talk more about the series as it gets going.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate meeting you. It was nice meeting you, Matthias. It was nice meeting you, Scott. And, yeah, and the icon. It was great meeting you. And thank you. I really appreciate this. This is really great for me.
And you'll be happy to know I do have your number on speed dial.
That's good. Call me anytime.
All right. You guys heard it here first. All right. Thanks, Melissa, for joining us. We love you. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye.
All right. All right. Melissa Quinones, ladies and gentlemen. So we're waiting for our next guest here. And he's a biggie. He's the hostess with the most. He's Donnie Most. Of course, you know him as Ralph Mell from Happy Days, and we're going to talk to him. He's going to be calling in here shortly, and I'm sure that you guys know what Happy Days is, and we'll have a lot of fun with him when he calls in. So we're just waiting for when he calls in. We'll take a little commercial break, and then we will start then, and we'll go from there. So I do believe he's on the air. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick little commercial timeout. We'll be back after these messages, so stick with us right after this.
So, if your spring and summer projects include some concrete work, Elevated Concrete can help. They can be reached at 701-866-9018 or at Elevated Concrete on Facebook. Their concrete work includes driveways, sidewalks, walkways, approaches, garage floors, patios, and shed pads. Plus, they offer decorative or stamped concrete as well. And all estimates are free. They are ready right now for any concrete project you have. That's Elevated Concrete at 701-866-9018.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, Happy Days are here again. He is the reason why the sitcom Happy Days was as popular as it is. He is the hostess with the mostest. He is Donnie Most.
Hey, this is Donnie Most, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Monday, live Monday on 89.1 Ken's FM, with your host, the icon, and also with the big swing, and the modern nightmare, Matthias.
How are you, sir? Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. We are so happy you're here, sir. How should we address you? Should we say Mr. Most? Can we call you Don? should we call
Don?
You Mr. Royalty? How should we address you?
Oh, my gosh. Don or Donnie is fine, whichever suits you at the moment, because I go by both.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do, Donnie. We're going to have a lot of fun here with you. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable, and then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But first off, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, and then we'll have some fun.
Oh, where should I begin?
Well, wherever you want. You're the man. You're the one that's you're the one that's got 12 figures in his checking account compared to us, so go ahead.
I was born in Brooklyn, in the Flatbush section of Brooklyn, and had a great upbringing there, went to public schools, and then Erasmus Hall High School, which is kind of legendary. It's one of the oldest high schools in the country and has alumni such as Barbara Streisand and Barbara Stanwyck and Lainey Kazan and Mae West and on and on. And it was a fabulous time for me back then. And then I moved out to L.A. When I was 20. I had finished my junior year in college at Lehigh University in Pennsylvania. And I went out to L.A. I'd been pursuing singing and acting since I was 13, going into Manhattan on the subway for lessons at different schools for acting, singing, dancing, and then wound up getting to be part of a nightclub troupe when I was 15 years old, singing in the Catskill Mountains, which was a resort area of upstate New York, and I was singing in all the nightclubs up there in the hotels. And I was 15. It was kind of crazy. And then moved into, really shifted my focus into acting, and was doing work over the next 4 years, a lot of commercials and some TV, a little theater, and then went to L.A. And I was only going to stay out there for the summer, get my feet wet, and then go back to college for my senior year, and then come back to L.A. and hit the ground running. But things started moving for me pretty quickly during that summer. I landed a couple of roles on guest star TV shows, you know, guest starring roles on TV shows. And then my agent convinced me to stay in L.A. and not go back to school. Yeah, take 6 months off, and you could always go back. And so that I did that and got a few more parts, and then nothing for several months. And I felt, oh, I made a big mistake. And then the Happy Days interview came up, followed by another callback for another audition, and another callback for another audition, and then a screen test. And then I wound up getting part in for the pilot of Happy Days, and we shot it in November of 73, and then went on the air in January of 74. So
that's awesome.
There's that part of that's within the first 20 years of my life.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you're back doing singing again. Now you have an album out, don't you?
Yeah, I have a new CD out called New York High, and it's doing really well. My producer decided, for reasons that I won't, don't need to bore people with, but he decided to release one of the singles from the CD, New York High, actually, in the UK, and it's hit the charts there. There's a chart there called the Heritage Chart. It goes out to like 80 countries. But it's based in the UK, and it's a pretty popular chart there, and I've been climbing the charts, from starting at number 40 and 30 something, and I'm now up to number 6 on the Heritage Chart for that song. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited about that, and we'll see. It's going to be a little tough to climb too much higher, because in number 2 right now on that chart is Ringo, with a song, Rewind Forward, I believe. And then the number 1 of the Beatles, song Now and Then. I must be like a, old undiscovered track or something. But anyway, so it's a little going to be tricky. Hopefully I can move up a little bit, but I don't know if I can surpass that kind of a royalty, so to speak.
Donnie Moser, I guess you're on 89.1 Kens FM, and we got about 23 minutes here with Donnie, and we're going to ask him a lot of stuff here. But before we do that, I want to introduce you to my co-host, and we're going to come back to me, and I'm going to tell a quick little story about Donnie. You and I have a little bit of history here in Fargo, so we'll wet everybody's whistle for that here in just a second, but first, I want to introduce you to my co-host, one of my co-hosts. He's on my right. His name is Scott Hand. Scott, what do you have for our guest, the man, the myth, the legend, Donnie Most?
Hi, Donnie.
Hey, Scott.
I want to ask you, when you got into acting, like, what was your inspiration? Like, did you have a favorite movie that made you want to go into it? What got you started?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Yeah, definitely. As I mentioned earlier, I was initially – sort of my first love was singing, because I'd seen the movie The Jolson Story when I was nine years old. And I became like obsessed with that movie and Jolson. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of introduced me to that whole genre of music, what we consider the great American songbook. And that's what really got me into it. But then after that summer that I was performing in the Catskill Mountains, I started, it was a great period for movies in the late 60s and early 70s. It was a bit of a renaissance in terms of filmmaking. It was going a little more in the independent style and there were some incredible films that I started becoming exposed to. And, you know, films like Midnight Cowboy with Dustin Hoffman, The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, some of the great Paul Newman films, Cool Hand Luke, The Hustler. And but then I saw a movie when I was 17 called Five Easy Pieces. A lot of people might not even, though you'll know who's a star very, very well, but might not know that film. It was his second film, well, his third film, really. But it was Jack Nicholson in Five Easy Pieces. And Jack just kind of blew me away. And, you know, and I was also a fan of James Dean, who I'd seen, you know, movies from earlier. But Nicholson just did something in me that's what really inspired me to pursue acting in a big way. And then I went on to see the film he had done right before that, which I didn't see till after, was Easy Rider. And then I saw him in The Last Detail, which he was fabulous in, Carnal Knowledge, and then, of course, Chinatown. So Nicholson was the one. I mean, but the other actors, too. I mean, it was during that time, you know, like I said, and then, of course, you know, Pacino and De Niro in 72 with The Godfather. But it was an incredible time of films, and it definitely inspired me into acting.
It inspired me to go into filmmaking. You know, the 70s. Yeah, I would catch a lot of those horror movies sometimes would stick with me, like John Carpenter's Halloween and Count Uerga, you know, because I mostly do horror, but I did my first comedy. So it's like the horror movies always, during that time, I mean, Salem's Lot, you know, that Stephen King, you know, that was a miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
That was one that, you know, all the kids in my class that were watching, we were all having nightmares when that came out. You know, so it's like those kind of things stick with you. And it's like that's, you know, it got to a point you weren't seeing a lot of, you know, we weren't seeing a whole lot of movies like that lately, you know. So I, you know, I kind of wanted to go back to, you know, the root of horror and try to make them scary again, you know, tell a good story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be the story. There's got to be a good story. The play
Absolutely.
Is the thing, you know. Yeah, otherwise, you know, it's just a lot of sort of moments, cool moments, whether it be special effects or just sort of, you know, horror moments. But if it doesn't have the binding element underneath it all, that will draw you in and then have the great effect when you want to reveal certain things or have certain things happen. If it's just, you know, just for show, it's not going to have the resonance. So I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. Like when we were doing Like K and in the development process of it, my mentor who passed away before I could write the first draft of the script, we were talking about the Lon Chaney Jr. played Lawrence Talbot. He was very, you know, as the movies were progressing, he was, you know, a tortured character. You know, remember he always just wanted to die, you know, because he didn't want to keep coming back as the Wolfman and killing people. So that was kind of a plot device I had that I was using with Lycan as well. I thought it was time to kind of go back to that kind of character. I think the time's right for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, those are the kind of things that you remember, you know. There's got to be something, some real meat on the bone, you know, as opposed to just a lot of flashing effects and stuff.
Yeah, it has to have like a motivation. It has to have a heart, I think, sometimes, too. I think sometimes when you have something like that in certain movies, that really draws you, even if it's a horror movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't matter what the genre is. It all starts with the script and the story. It's got to be solid, really solid.
I do want to tell you one thing. I grew up watching Happy Days, and I think you and Ron Howard both left around the same time, didn't you?
Yeah, the same season. After the
That's what
season.
I thought.
Yeah,
because it was like after when you guys left, the show was never the same for me. I really had a hard time getting into it after you guys left.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've heard that from other people, and I could understand that. You know, you're used to it with this cast. and the dynamics of what it was, and then all of a sudden they had to change it because, well, you know, Richie and Ralph were gone, and yeah, Anson kids me sometimes because Anson and I were great friends. You know, he said I was like kind of left standing, and they didn't know what to do with me because, you know, there was no Ralph and no Richie, so his part like got smaller and smaller over the next 4 years,
yeah.
And he kind of kiddingly blames me for that. But they, you know, it had to change, and I didn't watch the show after that, so I can't really, you know, give any assessment. But yeah, I've heard from other people, you know, of course, that they felt it wasn't the same. But
no.
You know, it still ran for 4 more years. So,
yeah.
But I guess, you know, a lot of that you'd have to give credit to you know, the huge popularity that Henry had in the role of Fonzie, and then of course Marion and Tom were still on the show, and yeah, so it still lasted even though we had jumped the shark, as they say. That's what created the slogan "Jump the Shark," which I remember that episode really well, and thinking, oh my God, what's going on? You know, I thought the scripts were starting to kind of go downhill, and that was one of the reasons I didn't renew my, you know, when my contract came up. And Ron, of course, had aspirations to do other things. I don't know whatever happened with that, but you know, I wish Ron luck.
Donnie Most is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we need to take a quick little time out here to play a little legal ID situation here. We'll be right back, so stick with us.
You're listening to 89.1 Ken's FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
And we are back here on 89.1 Ken's FM. And we have about 15 minutes here with the man, the myth, the legend, Donnie Most. And he is, I'm not taking anything away from any of our other guests, but he's probably the most statured guest that we've ever had. So, Donnie, before I ask you a few more questions concerning my story, we're going to bring on the modern Nightmare Matthias. And I know that you like to give your introduction, but he's already heard of Matthias. So go ahead. What do you have for our guest? Go right into it.
Oh, well, I got to do my introduction. I got to do my little special thing. But, yes, yeah, I'll make it fast. You're talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed APW World Heavyweight Champion and NSC World Tag Team Champion, soon to be APW United States Champion, NSC World Heavyweight Champion, and honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias. Welcome on to my part of the program. My main question to you would be, as being a professional wrestler, you tend to run across some guys that, you know, you don't necessarily agree with, or you work with them and you realize kind of like their inner true character shows, and you don't really want to mess with them, you don't really want to talk to them anymore, you don't want to work with them anymore. Have you ever experienced someone like that where, you know, you had to work with them, and then you realize, you know, hey, they just aren't what I want, what I need, or they're just not really the person I thought they were, and you just decided I would never work with them again, or has everyone kind of been smooth sailing throughout your career?
And you can't say me, because that'd be too easy.
Wow, that's quite a question. You know, I don't think I ever had an experience, you know, quite as extreme where, you know, I'm like, wow, this person I don't want to have anything to do with, and, you know, where it was a really bad experience. There might have been a couple in some regional theater that I did where I really clashed with somebody. But, you know, we had to keep doing the play, and, you know, you do it. You find a way. That's what your job is, you know, and you have to stay professional and keep that part of it out. And I remember, I didn't even think of this until just now, because when you asked that question, Because in film and TV, I never really had that. But in one or two theatrical productions, yes. And it was difficult. But you have to there's a way you compartmentalize somehow, and you leave any of the personal stuff, you know, off stage. And while you're on stage, you're just doing what you were hired to do and what you were trained to do. That was my experience.
Gotcha. Donnie Moses, our guest here on 81.1 Kent FM. We got about 15 minutes here with Mr. Moses. Now, one thing I don't know if you remember this, Don, but when you actually made an appearance here in Fargo at the Roger Maris Golf Tournament, and I was that little kid that ran up to you and gave you a big hug, and I asked you to sign up my program, and I asked you to sign it, Ralph Melt. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Well, I've had a few of those along the way, so I don't know if I remember that specific one, but I certainly do remember playing and participating in the Roger Maris Golf Tournament. I did it for several years, probably maybe 3 years in a row, something like that. I was a huge Yankee fan growing up, and that was, you know, when I started following baseball. It was 1959, 1960, and that's when Maris came to the team. He was traded from Kansas City to the Yankees, I think, in 60. And so that's – and then, of course, I was a big Mickey Mantle fan. And then there was the incredible 61 season. So when I got invited to be, you know, able to play, and Roger had passed away already, I did get to meet him about probably a year or 2 years earlier at some event, another golf event, and I was so excited to meet Roger and Pat and his wife, and I guess I exchanged numbers or something, and that's why Pat invited me a couple of years later, and I got to meet the Maris family and got to know them and spend time, and they had a great golf tournament, so I have terrific memories of my time up there in Fargo for that.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I believe you were here for the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. I'd have to look that up, but I do believe that's when you were here. I myself have been to every with except in the last couple of years, but I've been to every single – me and my father together had been to every single tournament. And,
oh, wow.
I remember when my I used to be that, you know, that little autograph seeker that used to run around the course and chase mm-hmm. everybody's golf cart down to get everybody's autograph. And I actually met you, the first time I met you was at the banquet, and I knew that you were in a hurry, but you stopped what you were doing and you took a picture with me, and I still have that, and I do appreciate that.
Oh.
I never got to thank you for that.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that. I'm glad I wasn't in so much a hurry that I didn't stop. I would have not liked to hear that part of the story that I didn't stop for you. So I'm so glad that I did. There was such a great feeling of, friendship and community there that I felt when during my time up there. It was really it was very memorable.
And that year, if it was the 11th anniversary, that was also the year that Bobby Knight was here.
Oh, yes. I remember he was one of the years I was there, Bobby Knight was here. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, the year, if you remember the year that he was here, he showed up late. And, of course, no one's going to tell Bobby Knight what to do, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I kind of remember that now. That's funny. Yeah.
And he used a lot of official adult language, and we can curb that for another time. But this is Donnie Most Time. We got about 6 minutes here with you, Donnie. And for those of you who listen to our Facebook page, our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era Monday, Live Monday, like that. Go to Ken's FM page, like that. Do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. And, Donnie, I'll understand if you turn me down, but would you be willing to send us a couple autographs for giveaways for our fans?
I'm sorry, can I do some autographs for some fans?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, would you be able to?
Yeah, I don't know how we coordinate that, but if you can figure that out with me, yeah, sure.
Okay. I'll send you the I'll send you the address, and then also send you a link for the show. So
okay.
Yeah, whenever you get a chance, we would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a couple of things I got to ask you here. We got about, like I said, we got about five minutes left here. Now, when being the character that you played, do a lot of people recognize you in public and come up to you and say, you know, I love you on that show, or are you that guy?
Well, not as much now. I'm certainly look a little different. I'm a little older now than when I did the show, obviously. You know, back in the day, it was I couldn't really go. Once we got up to like number one and we stayed there for a while, it was hard to go anywhere without that happening, which, you know, it was a bit of a, I think it was, you know, great and exciting and all that, but then it's 24/7 and, you know, it's a little, it's like being in the Twilight Zone because all of a sudden your life is completely different. So it takes a little adjusting, but you know, as the years have gone on, that's continually faded. And as I look different now, I get it sometimes, but, you know, not that often. It's sort of once in a while. Now, if I go out, I told you I'm great friends with Anson, and still really good friends with Ron and Henry. But I spend more time because we don't live that far away from each other. So when Anson and I are together somewhere, then it's different because then people, like when they see us together, it sort of hits. You know, hits quicker, and then people will come up to us. But when I'm by myself, I can go, you know, I can go for quite some time without getting recognized at all. And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody will recognize me. It's very kind of random.
You know, the other thing I was going to ask you, Donnie, is Scott is an independent film director. Would you be willing to do would you be willing to do a project with him in one of his future films?
Well, definitely. It's like we talked about, it's all about the play is the thing. If I like the script, you know, if I like the script and the character, absolutely, I would be interested. So we'll have to stay in touch. And if you got something, Scott, you know, send it something that you think you see me in a certain role, send it my way. I'd be very happy to look at it and then communicate with you on that.
I'd like to stay in touch with you, too.
And we can use one of your songs in the soundtrack.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Fun. Yeah, we'd have to come up with something that fits the bill, and that would be fun, definitely. The two CDs that I've had out in the last 6 years are primarily jazz standards, but there's some other genres I've mixed in there, some blues and then even some stuff from the classic rock here. But I'm pretty open and could adapt to different styles. If it musically feels right, you know. So that would be fun. Yes, Scott,
Don,
let's stay in touch.
Yeah, what's the best way to contact you, Don?
Well, I believe you've got my number because you're going to you're going to send me the addresses for the autographs. So you've got
I can get it.
Yeah, so
okay.
Cell number.
Would I be able to pass him your number? Because I'll understand now that you've given me your number, I'll understand if you like every other guest that unlist their number afterwards, or they have my name saved as do not answer this.
No, absolutely. Pass my number on to Scott so we can collaborate a little.
Right. Excellent. Yeah, that's excellent.
You know, Donnie, my theme song is "Here's My Number, Call Me Maybe." Anyway,
call me not.
We have Donnie Moser. I guess we got just a few minutes. Now, one thing I was going to ask you, Donnie, real quick is when you were just coming off the show, and you know, you were on 167 episodes, and your character was quite popular. Did you ever worry about typecasting when you were done with the show, or did that not?
Oh yeah.
Was that not a thing back
yeah.
then?
Oh, no, it was very much a thing back then, much more so now than now, because there were three networks, and you know, there wasn't – so we had 50, 60 million people watching us every Tuesday night. Now, you know, if a show has 5 million people, it's a hit. So typecasting was a much bigger thing to deal with back then than it is now, because people are watching so many different things. So that's one of the reasons, you know, among several others, that I did decide not to continue, because I felt I needed to break away and I wanted to have a career beyond the show, and, you know, for hopefully a long time, and not just be so associated and locked into that role that it would be difficult. And my thing was playing, I was not like the character of Ralph. That was, you know, that was me taking on somebody very different from myself. And that's what was difficult, because I knew people thought that's who I was, and I wanted to play a wide variety of roles. And it took, it was tough, but I kept, you know, at it. In the beginning, I told my agent I didn't want to do another series. I didn't want to do TV for a while. I wanted to try to just do film and theater. And I went like 6 months without even being able to get an audition for a film. So it was really tough. But I kept pecking away, and I did some theater. And then I finally said, okay, let's do some TV. And I got to do some roles that were a little different. I even did like Star Trek Voyager. I played like the evil doctor type. And then psychiatrist in The Crow. And I started doing a lot of different things, and then people, it started opening up in some independent films. I played a retired semi-alcoholic ball player who was alienated from his son, and then more recently, so it started really opening up, especially, I mean, in the last 5 years, maybe because, you know, the age that I'm in, this new age bracket, but I've done like 8 films in the last 3 years, going from everything from playing a pastor to a polygamist. Literally, I went from doing a local pastor in one film, and the next one I'm playing a polygamist. So I love being able to do this, and I played the owner of a minor league hockey team, and a prison guard, and a king, and a career criminal, and then a Western called Far Haven, and then more recently, a true story based in the 20s in Detroit area about the bootlegging going on during Prohibition. I played there were all these gangs that were vying for control. I played the head of the Jewish mob. It was the Purple Gang, and it was a totally different role. So this is what I love doing, but yes, it was difficult when I first left the show, and I knew it was going to be difficult, but I had to make the break and had to start chipping away at that brick wall in front of me.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, Donnie, we don't we're past the time that we promised we were going to keep you, but I just want to say thank you so much. You are awesome, and you'll always be my hero. And and I'm not just saying this because it's you, but you're always going to be my favorite from Happy Days. I mean, I always wanted to be the Fonz, but I was more like Ralph Malp in high school. So that's why I love you so
cool.
much, man. You're awesome.
Well, thanks so much, Icon and Scott. And it was great
talking
with you. And, and we'll stay in touch. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
I appreciate you. We appreciate you, sir. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Donnie Most, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like our next guest is waiting in the wings. So here's what we need to do. We need to take another quick little timeout. We'll be back after these messages. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
As you know, 89.1 Ken's FM is funded through donations by our listeners and sponsorships from area businesses. If your business would like to sponsor Ken's FM and reach thousands of young adults and college students every day, contact us at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. Any one of us can help you get your sponsorship started. We have many packages available to fit your budget. So contact us today at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. And thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he's going to say, listen, Busta, because he is Bruce Busta Soja.
Hey, hey, hey. This is true. It's actor Bruce Busta Soja. And you're listening to the Attitude Era Monday on 89.1 Ken's FM with your host, the Icon, and also with the Big Swing and the Modern Nightmare, Matias. Hey, guys.
How you doing, sir? How's it going, man?
Great,
good
man.
To have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
And with as tall and as big as with as many tattoos you are, I'm going to walk with padded paws with every question I ask you.
No. We're going to have some fun, man. I'm here for you.
All right. So here's how we'll do this. I'm going to ask you some questions, and then we'll do a round table, then we'll go to Scott, then we'll go to the Modern Nightmare there. But first off, you want to give us a little quick little background about yourself, and then we'll have some fun with the interview. Go ahead.
Sure. So I am a method actor. I've been on some TV shows and movies. I'm a 47-year-old guy that just recently moved to South Florida. I'm a family man. I fly out for gigs. I'm in L.A., I'm in Atlanta, I'm in New York, New Jersey, yada, yada, yada. I just came back from Boston. I'm having a great time. I got into acting later in life, as is the case with a lot of guys. I'm more of a blue-collar guy by nature. I got a Class A CDL and a barbershop license. I used to own a bunch of barbershops. So, you know, the whole acting thing kind of came on as maybe we'll call it a midlife crisis, if you will. And it's just been a hell of a ride, man. I'm really enjoying the journey.
And in a second, I'm going to introduce you to an independent film director. Maybe we can get you in one of his projects, but we'll talk about that in a second. But one thing I do got to ask you, Bruce, is you mentioned that you used to own a lot of barbershops, but I just got to ask you about all your different tattoos. Are you sure you didn't have a tattoo shop too somewhere?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. Briefly, I did own a tattoo shop. I was never a tattoo artist myself. But it was kind of like an investment along the way. At one point when I started diversifying, I was running nightclubs. I was doing different things while I simultaneously had built up, you know, a dozen barbershops. And I decided I was starting to get more and more tattoos in my 30s. You know, I'm in my late 40s now. But and that was, you know, the funny thing is it became part of the gig, like when the guys were paying the piper their rent money, I made a deal where I would get X amount of tattoo hours in the shop in exchange for, you know, some discounted rent and stuff like that. So it kind of led to, me having a handful of tattoos to having a ton of tattoos. So that's kind of how that happened.
You have a lot of projects that you've done, and, you know, we get a lot of our information from imdb.com, and it says that you have 12 projects coming up, Thug, The Finish Line, The Lunatics, Micah, Fade In, Fade Out, God Will Listen, 4th and 44, Coach Carr. That's what I'm definitely going to ask you about. Jessica Lives, X, the End Time, Once a Week for Life. So how do you keep all that straight with all those projects that you got that you're working on?
It's not as task-oriented as it seems. I mean, it's more a lot of times in this world when, I constantly audition for studio-level projects through my Hollywood agents and whatnot. And, when I get the studio-level projects, the Netflix and stuff like that, you know, those are not as often. So those occurrences are great when they happen. But in between, I keep my pencil sharp with a lot of the independent films, and a lot of those films, some of those that you mentioned, I actually just finished. We wrapped some of them, and some of them are still upcoming. So, you know, I do have a team. I have a manager. I have a couple of agents in different markets. And I'm a business guy myself, so I've been an entrepreneur for over 20 years, you know, even way before I got into the acting world. So once I plugged into the acting world, I just kind of took my business smarts and savvy with me, and I treat the acting business, it's a passion. It has become a great part of my life, a love, but I also treat it like a business. I'm very organized. You know, I have a whole systematic approach to, you know, the whole thing, like auditioning to marketing to, you know, scheduling. And I actually enjoy it. I like the frenzy sometimes when, you know, I have some projects that are abutting each other, and just the rush of trying to schedule things back to back, not let them overlap, and negotiating deals and negotiating days, like all that stuff is kind of what I already do in my, you know, regular life outside of acting with the other businesses and investments that I have. So it's actually fun for me. That's kind of part of the rush that I enjoy, believe it or not.
You know, one of the projects I'm going to ask you about, then we'll go to my co-host. But the movie Fourth and 44, you play Coach Carter. That's a true story, isn't it?
Yeah, so that actually is very current. That just wrapped. I think there's just a couple more scenes that are going into that, but I'm wrapped on that film. So that is based on a true story. There's some, I don't want to give away too much, but it's a really cool premise. I give you a quick rundown. There was a gentleman who grew up playing football, typical All-American guy, All-American family, and at some point along his way, he kind of got a little complacent. He got a little bit, you know, he got a minor injury and kind of started hanging with the other injured guys and lost his ambition, lost his hustle, lost his love, lost his passion for the game. Ultimately, it led to him making a series of life choices after high school or after college where he just kind of became a quitter in life. Like, it's a very symbolic film, and I love stuff like that with the message and with a kind of a happy ending, if you will. It's a family-oriented film, and this gentleman, you know, the actual guy who the story's about, he's been in touch with myself and some of the other cast members, and he's a real friendly, fun-loving guy. So he ultimately, at 44 years old, in a drunken stupor, kind of put down had a moment or an epiphany where, man, where did I go wrong in life? I got this kind of dead-end job, and I kind of quit everything along the way, and I haven't really, you know, tried to become something bigger and better in life. And where did I leave off? And he says, you know what, I left off in college, so let me go back to where I started. It's kind of like a page from the, almost not as extreme as a Billy Madison story, but it's, he goes back to community college, signs up for classes, and signs up for football simultaneously. And I mean, the beauty of this film is they chose a kid who's a stand-up comedian to be the lead, who played Marty Reichman, who was, you know, the name of the actual character, and he's a real heavyset, jolly, funny guy. I had a blast working with him. I played, you know, like you said, the head coach of the football team, so my contribution was, you know, running the football team in that aspect of the film, and kind of had to kind of put up with his character, like, oh man, what coach on earth, college football coach, wants to deal with some 44-year-old fat slob who can't get out of his own way, never mind get through the rigors of practice and through a game? And, you know, it is a comedy, so I'm sure you can read between the lines. There was a lot of funny moments on set, never mind the captures that we have on film. I'm sure it's going to be a great film for everyone that watches it. They're going to enjoy it.
You know, and the other cool thing about that film is and, Scott, we're going to go to you next. But, Scott, Han, you know, the one cool thing about that movie that we were just talking about is he was in the film with a co-star of ours. He was actually in Alexis Baca was actually in that film. And and Bruce, she is going to be starring with me in a movie that Scott Han is directing called The Black Tent. And Unfortunately, Alexis did say that she was not going to do the love scene that was supposed to be with me and her, but that's sort of another time. But, yeah, so, Scott, go ahead. What do you got for our guest? Let's see if you can get him in one of your films.
Yeah. Bruce, what was basically, like, was there a certain actor, like, when you grew up that you saw? Like, what made you want to get into acting? Did you have a favorite movie?
You know, that's a great question, Scott. Thank you for asking it. I was more of a go outside and play sports and ride the BMX bike, and I was a paper boy. I was always, you know, an outdoors kid. I wasn't really – I loved movies just like anyone else, but I never grew up saying, you know, I'm going to grow up and be an actor someday. I'm going to be an entertainer. I didn't really have those aspirations. I was more of a blue-collar guy, like I said earlier, and I, you know, it didn't take long. When I was around 40 years old, I was post-divorce, you know, started a new family and a lot of changes in life, and I just wanted a fresh start all the way around, and I was searching for another avenue. I've always been artistic and creative, but I never really had the opportunity to find or pursue something that would invigorate my creative senses. And, you know, like I said, around 40 years old, what happened was I kept getting invited to an open casting call, more specifically for what Mark Wahlberg was doing a film. And I'm originally from New England, from the Northeast. I grew up in between New York and Boston and Rhode Island, the smallest state. And you guys probably don't even know what Rhode Island is, but, you know, all jokes
aside.
It's
real estate up in the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little state up in the corner. So, and I'm very proud of where I come from, but it made me the man I am today in a lot of ways. But anyway, I took a ride up to Boston, which is an hour north of where I grew up. And, you know, upon a lot of prodding, a lot of my friends and family were like, man, this guy's Mark Wahlberg's doing an open casting call for guys that are big and tough and scary and intimidating looking and beards and tattoos and muscles and blue collar. And like everything on this criteria was me, and it was screaming me, and I knew it. But at first, it's funny, I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. I said, man, I don't know anything about acting. That's not for me. I kind of discarded it. And it had like, it was like a week out from when I started getting invited, and like probably 60 different people tagged me, invited me. I finally decided to go, and I went begrudgingly. And Angela Perry, the owner of Boston Casting up there, she did a hell of a job of kind of wrangling me and saying, man, you know, look at this guy in front of a crowd of a lot of people, basically. And I won't say some of the choice words she said, all complimentary, but in her, you know, Northeast fashion, she basically said, you know, I want this guy to be a movie star and take acting classes, yada, yada, yada. So I was flattered, of course, and I felt special. And very soon after that, I realized I had no idea what I was doing, but I was, you know, intrigued. So I started taking acting classes, and I ended up really, really diving in deep, and I fell in love with the craft. And contrary to popular belief, you know, maybe if you look at me, you might say, ah, what does this guy know? But I'm more than just a look and more than just a sound and a presence. I really, truly am totally in love with the passion for the craft. I really enjoy creating and developing characters, and I think that's how I can attribute my success or my rocket ship, if you will, not to toot my horn, it's not me, but just the love for the creative process is really what has gotten me to the point I'm at in a short amount of time. And that's all I can say is great acting coaches, great audition coaches, like really diving in deep and reinvesting in myself and giving myself every opportunity to maximize every opportunity that comes my way. So I didn't mean to deviate from your question, but really, I'm an old school guy. I really love the Godfather series. If you ask me what my favorite movie is, it's probably Godfather 2. And, you know, I like all the old tough guy gangster movies, Bronx Tale and The Sopranos TV show. And I kind of grew up around that type of genre, if you will. So that, you know, a lot of the films I've done are a lot of that kind of genre, tough guy, alpha male, you know, city slicker, all that stuff. But as of recent, like you said, I did just play a college football head coach. And previous to that, I played a pastor of a church. So I'm getting blessed with opportunities to deviate from the mobster, the gangster, the tough guy. And I've been very fortunate to be allowed to perform characters that go away from my typical typecast. But of course, I do enjoy the, you know, my strong suit, and I'll always take those roles as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Sosa is our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM, and we still got plenty of time with Bruce here. And we have about 25 minutes here. And for those of you who've never seen what Bruce looks like, Bruce is actually a cross between Dave Bautista, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and John Eric Hexum. So picture that. And he's a big guy, and he's big and scary, but he's just a giant teddy bear, as you know, because he let me have his number. But anyway, I'm going to introduce you to my other co-host. His name is the modern nightmare, Matthias. Now, Matthias, I think you said that you could probably take him in a wrestling match, didn't you?
I mean, I could take anybody in a fight. I'm not afraid to say that. I know you try to set me up for these fights and these agitated guests, but, you know, when fist come to fist, I'd be more than willing to throw down with just about anybody. But you are talking to the man from every woman's greatest dream and every man's worst nightmare, North Dakota's number one heel, current reigning, defending, undisputed All Out Pro Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion and NSC World Tag Team Champion, and soon to be APW United States Champion, NSC World Heavyweight Champion, BZW World Heavyweight Champion, and EWI Epic Champion and honorary member of the New World Order, Matthias. Welcome onto my part of the program. My main question that I could think to ask you, and I'm not sure if this was like truly 100% covered throughout the entire monologue that I've been listening to here for the past little while, would be when you're in an entertainment industry, regardless of what it is, sometimes, me being a pro wrestler, sometimes you run into people who, you know, you thought you knew in the very beginning, and then all of a sudden their true colors showed, and you're just like, man, I don't want to work with this person anymore, or they were difficult to work with, or, you know, just they were just a problem on set, or whatever the case may be. Have you ever encountered somebody like that where you just said to yourself, man, I'm never going to work with this guy again, or, hey, put me on a list to never work with him, or if you're going to try to limit your connections with him, is there anybody like that in your past that you've had to deal with?
Well, he hasn't worked with me yet, so how would you know? No, go ahead.
Well, I think that's a great question, and I'm going to do my best not to turn the show into Jerry Springer show, but I yes, of course, I've definitely encountered in life in general, but especially as an entertainer, all walks of life, and more specifically, yeah, I don't want to go in too much detail because it's not my style. I try to exude positivity, as you know, as an entertainer, we market ourselves a certain way, but sure, by all means, I've worked more on the production side, not so much actors. I have never really personally haven't had any issues with actors or directors, but I've definitely done some business with shoddy movie producers who, you know, they kind of take and get what they can get from anybody they can, and the promises don't always add up to something that was spoken on. So, yeah, I mean, I've definitely learned valuable lessons as an entertainer in terms of contracts. Handshakes don't mean much, and promises and conversations don't mean much. So my biggest advice to someone, you know, in this business or getting into this business is get a really good entertainment lawyer, and don't do anything until you have a contract executed fully. Conversations are great. Sometimes in the beginning you build a rapport. Like you said earlier, someone could seemingly be a great person to work with. And, you know, a lot of people start out with great intentions, and sometimes they just have a change of heart or they rub each other the wrong way. So the best protection mechanism I could say is make sure you have a contract in place and a good entertainment attorney. Spend the money on that instead of frivolous things. You know, it's very, very important to make sure you have contracts in place. Can't say it enough.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Bruce, you're 6'1", 245, green hair, I mean green eyes, brown hair, and you could go bear hunting with a switch.
That sounds like fun.
Well, no, I would love to see you take on a bear. That'd be cool. Anyway, we have Bruce Lewis to get you. We got about 15 minutes here with our buddy here. So I want to we'll talk about some of your upcoming projects, and then we'll go from there. You know, we talked about 4th and 44, and is there any like projects that you're currently working on that you're like got to go back to set for?
Yeah, I mean, I have several, and several that I'm really excited about that I'd love to, you know, briefly talk about. But
sure,
I actually, sure, right? So I get a kid that I met early on in my journey, probably about 7 years ago. I was on set in Manhattan, New York City, doing a music video. It was kind of just a step in the rings, trying to learn the business early on. And this kid was a younger guy, producer on set. We stayed in touch for years, and he's from Kansas City. He moved out to Los Angeles. I don't know how many years he's got out there, but I think he's around 10, let's say a little more or a little less. Anyway, this guy learned the business inside out in Hollywood, you know, hands-on, and became like one of the best lighting specialists in movies. In the movie world, we call that a gaffer. So he became one of the best gaffers, had a whole bunch of trucks and crews running around on Hollywood studios and doing different levels of film production and lighting projects. But his true passion was to write films and become a director someday. So I got to watch, just as he got to watch me grow as an actor, I got to watch him grow into a filmmaker / writer, director, producer. And the beauty of that is he's not an actor. So he doesn't, you know, put himself in the way, so to speak. He's been putting a few projects together that have been really good. And I just did one. It's called Winter Set. It's on my IMDb. We filmed it in Iowa, in the heartland, closer to you guys than I am. And it was really cold. We filmed back in January of this year. And it was a heist movie gone bad. And I was the kind of standout character. I was the New York City slicker that went with my supermodel wife from, you know, we lived in New York, and we go back home to Kansas City where she grows up, and she wanted, you know, see her family and kind of relocate back there, and I decided to go with her. And, you know, it's really unique because I got to kind of play up my own city slickerness, if you will, like, you know, with the fur coat and the pinky rings and the gaudy jewelry and the slick hair. And I really stood out in the film because the backdrop was, you know, farmers and kind of rednecks, if you will. So, you know, I won't give away too much of the story, but it's a heist gone bad, and it's a really wild ride. It's really well written. There's a lot of surprises in the film, and, you know, I guess you would say a co-lead in the film, and I really enjoyed the creative process, especially in that film, because I was so heavily involved with, you know, with the director, the writer, and his name is Michael Blevins, and we've become very close friends, and we have several more projects upcoming. Some are not public knowledge. They're still under wraps, and I'm really excited because he does a lot of great stuff in L.A., and I love, you know, going out to L.A. It's, for me, I always say I don't want to live there, but I really love to film there. It's fun because anyone in the entertainment business, especially actors, anytime you get to, you know, film or perform in Los Angeles, it's just some kind of mystique to that when you're, you know, hey, I'm filming in Hollywood. You know, a lot of people live there and it becomes the norm, but when you don't live there, you know, like I said, I live closer to Miami, and I really enjoy living here now, but that's a film I want you guys to watch out for, Winter Set. Super, super well-written, well-crafted, shot really well. I got to see the preliminary first layout of the film, and it's really, really good. I think the world's going to love it, and hopefully it lands on a really big platform so everyone gets to see it. So that's one, and shout out to Michael Blevins and the Winter Set movie, for sure. And then there's one more, you know, that it throbs in my head. It hasn't come out yet. I filmed about a year ago, and because of the strike, the union strike we've been on, it got some delays with getting it out to the theaters. But I did a movie with Liam Neeson, the great Liam Neeson, and I had a pretty cool set of scenes with him and another character in the film. And basically, I can't give it away, but he basically kicks my butt in the film. We'll keep it PG.
You can't tell us the name of it either?
Yeah, that one's called Thug, and he's the thug, not me. I always clarify that because most people would assume it's called Thug and they're referring to me, but nope, it's a movie about Liam Neeson's character. From what I understand, he gets out of prison, and I think he's battling Alzheimer's, and he's not sure if he's coming or going and who's his enemies, who's his friends, and doesn't really know where to pick up the pieces after doing a long stint in prison. And, you know, he kind of ends up crossing my path at some point, and it gets a little ugly for me, believe it or not. So I think if you pay attention to Liam Neeson's films, there's always a pivotal moment where there's someone in the film who looks like they could kick his butt. He gives them a beat, and it's like a signature piece of all his film work. It's pretty ironic, but it's beautiful because he's 70 years old and this guy is cranking out movies like hotcakes, and I respect him. He was such a sweetheart. He was a gentleman to me on set, gave me lots of compliments, filled me up with so much motivation and flattery that when I left, I could barely fit my head through the door.
You know, and you know, the cool thing is you can add, this could be part of your resume. Think about this. Here's your resume. I got my butt kicked by Qui-Gon Jinn, and then I went to do a movie with Scott Hahn, starring with the Icon and Bruce in one of his pictures. Just think about that. You can go from getting your butt kicked from Qui-Gon to working with me and Scott Hahn. Would that not be a treat?
I would love it. I would be honored. It would be a highlight, that's for sure.
That would be awesome.
anytime, man.
Well, you know, Scott, I'm sure that I know you have what, like five or six projects that you have written down or ideas for. I'm sure that you can find a great character for Bruce to play.
Oh yeah, and I definitely have. Definitely.
Anytime,
like,
man. I'm always ready.
Yeah, I'd like
for
to
sure,
say,
man.
You
know, I'm always ready. And I appreciate that. Thank you for considering me in that fashion.
Well, you know,
You're
I'll
welcome.
Tell you what. You know, you can ask anybody that listens to the show or comes on the show. I always try and get my friends a job, but and then usually it's no problem getting my friends a job, but I usually have to beg and send blank checks.
Yeah, that's how it works. Usually that's how it works. That's funny.
Bruce Soji is our guest here, and I'm just kind of curious, and I understand if you don't want to answer this, don't take this question the wrong way, but where does your middle name Busta come from, or is that like a high school nickname or something?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. So my actual government name is Bruce John Socia, so that's my middle name, but, you know, growing up, especially where I come from and probably a lot of different parts of the country, everybody gets a nickname, especially in my neighborhood and my family. So at a young age, I, you know, started getting the nickname Busta, you know, for different reasons. And it stuck. It really stuck with me, you know, especially high school and beyond. And, you know, it's kind of more of like a neighborhood nickname, family nickname, and it just stuck. So at some point when I started to transition into the acting world, and I had the choice to choose a stage name, I personally didn't really want to change my name per se, but I started to realize, like, there was actually, especially, it's more of a tip of the hat to home for me, for my home base, my home neighborhood. Most people know me by Busta. Hey, Busta, that's my nickname. So I decided, as a tip of the hat, and maybe there's a little marketing nudge in there that makes my name stand out on screen a little bit. But yeah, I officially changed my name with the SAG union, my stage name, to Bruce Busta Socia, so that, you know, my friends would say, hey, it is him. I thought that was his name on the screen, but wow, it's, you know, now I know it's him for sure. But not only that, but, you know, I when you get to a certain level, one of the things you ask for when you do a film is single card billing. Like, you want to see your name on the screen by itself, not in a lump of other names. And depending on the level, you know, the role and the level of the film, you know, if there's 10 A-listers and then there's me, I probably won't get that luxury. But, you know, typically a lot of the films I've done, in the last year or so, I've been accommodated that luxury where when my name comes up on the screen, it'll say Bruce Buster Social like that across the screen by itself. And it's nice. It's a little flattery. It's a little extra credit, so to speak.
You know, and this is kind of an ego thing, but, you know, I made you a cool little collector's card.
I love it.
Well, you know, I was kind of torn for what picture to choose. My actual favorite picture of you is actually on IMDb.com. I'll kind of describe it. You can kind of tell me a little bit about it. You're wearing, like, a white jacket. You have, like, 50 pounds of gold on, and you look like John Cena.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. So that's actually, we didn't talk about it, but there was a TV series on Amazon Prime Video, and it's called Gravesend Series, and season two just came out a couple months ago. It's something that I filmed a couple years ago in New York City and in Miami, and really that's what led me to move or relocate down here to Southern Florida. I fell in love with the palm trees and the ocean and you know, just the warm weather. I was filming 9 episodes of Gravesend Series, and you guys, I think if you like the you know, the machista, big tough guy, you know, crime TV series, I think you'll get a kick out of it. It's a Brooklyn crime family, and you know, the main character in season one, he, you know, there's an attempt on his life, so the family sends him to Miami to kind of stay low pro and, you know, get off the grid. And my character is one of his, like, henchmen or one of his, like, right-hand men that is kind of watching his back in Miami. And ultimately, my character gets a little power in Miami, and I kind of am running certain aspects of, you know, the trade, we'll call it, in Miami. So, yeah, there's a lot of – I get some cool fight scenes and gun scenes, and I kind of – that character, I'm clean-shaven, and, yes, that going back to that photo – it's like a 1980s period piece, 1980s Brooklyn mafia family, clean shaven, La Cosa Nostra, you know, the gold chains and the track suits and the pinky rings and 80s, you know, music and a lot of that ambiance. And it's 80s. The 80s was fun, man. And I'm 47, so the 80s, I was a kid. I was elementary school age, we'll call it. But I, you know, I always looked, I paid attention to, like, the older teenagers and the you know, young adults. And I actually won best dressed in sixth grade because I always dressed like I was older than I was. I had the pleated pants and I always dressed older and nicer and ironed my clothes and all that. And I was, and I laughed because I ended up doing that TV show that was based on the 80s. So we wore a lot of those 80s clothes and the 80s music. And I think you get a kick out of that show. It's a fun one to watch. That's for sure.
Well, you know, that's cool, you know, because in high school, the way I dressed, I was voted most likely to be to come out of the gutter. anyway, we have about we got about 5 minutes here with Bruce, so don't forget this, Bruce. If our fans want to check you out and see if you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, what do you got?
Yeah, so mostly I'm on Instagram, and it's at Actor Bruce Socia, S-O-S-C-I-A. It's not hard to find. Even if you pump in Actor B-R-U, usually my big head shows up and it'll fill in the blanks for you. I do have a Facebook. It's not as active. I am on there, but it's that's Bruce Socia, S-O-S-C-I-A. But typically I tell people to follow me on Instagram. I put a lot of movie clips and IMDb, of course. If anyone understands how IMDb works, it's you know, it showcases your resume, your body of work, the films you're involved in, what you've already done, what's upcoming, yada, yada, yada. And anytime you go on someone's IMDb, if you like them, if you click on their projects, it's funny the way it works. It actually helps the algorithm of their rating, the actor's rating. The lower number you have a rate on the rating scale, it increases your popularity, so to speak. And some people don't pay attention to that, and they think it's overrated, and I kind of do. I think it really doesn't matter, you know, what your ranking is. If you're a good actor or if you're a bad actor, it has nothing to do with that. It's more about popularity. So, you know, but it is part of the formula with marketing, and a lot of film producers look at that when they consider someone for a role. They try to see, like, oh, wow, this guy has a good resume, and he's also got a low IMDb rating. So it does help. So if anyone is interested in me and they think I'm a cool cat, they can check out my IMDb and click on my projects. It'll help my algorithm go down.
Well, you know, I'm trying to figure out then how do I have minus 200 stars? I don't get that.
You're pretty popular.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Bruce, you are awesome, sir. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I actually booked you on the show here 9 months ago on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I do appreciate that you're able to be with us, and you're awesome, and it's just been a wonderful thing to have you with us. And hopefully we can have you on again. And I was serious when I said that. I would love to see you and Scott do a couple of projects together. I think that'd be awesome.
So do I.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be honored, and it would be a pleasure. And one of the greatest parts of, you know, this journey for me is that the travel. Like, a lot of times I get to explore other parts of the country that I would otherwise have no business being there. And I love that you guys are out there and I'm here, and it would be fun for me to come out and perform and you know, get together outside of the set and have a nice dinner together and stuff like that. Those are the experiences that really increase the joy in my heart when I meet good people from different backgrounds, and we, you know, explore each other's culture, and it's fun. It really does enhance the experience for me, and I can't say enough that I'm flattered and honored that you looked me up and asked me to do your show. I really appreciate you guys having me, and I hope that this new year for you is 10 times better than the current one. You know, 2024 may be your best year, all of you.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, and I do appreciate that, and Scott Hand is definitely going to make my year and Matthias' year an awesome one. And like I say, hopefully, if you know, I have your number, and I'll understand if you're like most people I hung out with high school. When I dial their number, they have my number saved as "Do not answer this," I think some of you, my relatives have it say, it's him again. But anyway, I'll tell you what, Bruce, you have been awesome. You're just a regular, big guy, and a nice man, and an awesome guy. And I'm glad that you took time out of your schedule to be with us. You are so cool, man. And your voice is what brought us 20 extra rating points today. So I appreciate you.
You got it, my man. Anytime, I'm here for you. And hit me up again. I'll come back on, and we'll play catch-up.
I appreciate it, bud. And we'll get you hooked up with Scott. We'll get you in one of his pictures.
You got it. Sounds great to me. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, bud. Sure. Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Bruce, now, Scott, now I know you'd love to have him in one of your movies.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
And like I say, man, he... And, Matthias, I wasn't trying to get you involved in a match, but you're talking about going on to a match where there's Christmas presents filled with weapons, so I think you could probably have some fun with Bruce, too, I think.
Yeah, you know, like I said, any comer is a challenge and an opportunity, and whenever I can get in the ring before the eventual end of my career, I'll take every opportunity I can get.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to get out of here. So remember, it's not goodbye. It's just good night. And love each other, care for each other. Join us every Monday night here on 89.1 Kens FM, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. And next week, we have Santa Claus will be joining us. And then in 2 weeks from here, we're actually going to have Zuzu from It's a Wonderful Life, the little girl that said, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. She's going to be with us in 2 weeks. And Scott's going to be back next week. Matthias will be here next week. And tell them, be safe, love each other, care for each other. We'll see you all next week. And we are out of here.
You think you know me? Could you put warm hands down on a broken radiator?